What for you was the most important thing about WDR 2004?
It's the notion that accountability is going to matter a great deal to service delivery, and situations in which you have accountability are going to produce far better results than situations in which there isn't the accountability. So that, I think, was something that was generally known as something that's important. But the way the WDR structured that argument in very accessible ways, yet utilizing some very profound thinking about principal agent problems and other ways of thinking about service delivery, I suspect was the biggest contribution.
So in the 10 years since the publication of WDR 2004, what have we learned?
I think a lot, and that probably testifies to the fact that we are here 10 years later commemorating a report, which isn't usually done. But if I were to think about the one thing, I think it's the point that's come through in today's discussion, the supremacy of politics, not as a constraint, not as a hurdle, not as something that prevents service delivery, but as something we need to understand far better than we do. Why is it that politicians are not able to deliver services when the average voter, who is in many of our countries very poor, wants those services, wants the access, wants the quality, wants the affordability? Why is it, despite that clear preference by voters, politicians aren't able to deliver? And so much of the work that I think lies ahead of us in thinking about service delivery is unbundling this thing called politics. And why is it that politicians don't see the kind of credit that they can get and take and use in elections to be able to come back to power that also deliver good services to poor people? That, I think, is the biggest challenge that we face.
How important do you think aid is in determining the future of service delivery for the poorest people?
Aid's important because it alleviates a resource constraint. But as the WDR itself went into great length discussing, aid can also be a big distortionary factor, and we heard echoes of that today as well. A fundamental difference between aid that is essentially responding to constituencies in the sending country, as opposed to creating greater accountability in the recipient country, that's a problem. And I think there's less of it happening today than was 10 years back. I think we've all grown up. The MDGs have enforced a certain viewpoint. The post-MDG discussions that we've been having have also raised these issues. So I think we are much more sensitive on both sides of the table. So aid can bring about change, but I suspect the biggest value that aid has is in being able to share knowledge, in being able to create knowledge, in being able to allow pilots and experiments that then generate the kind of learning that's really important for us to diagnose why services don't work for poor people. If we do the wrong diagnosis and then we scale up, and even for a small country, but certainly for a very large country like mine, you could make an awful mistake, and you end up then mortgaging the future of many generations who then have to bear the fiscal burden, the poor service delivery, and the sorts of things that happen when you have the wrong thing happen at a very large scale. So aid does have a big role in resource constraint alleviation, but I suspect the real value comes from being able to experiment, being able to fund that kind of experiment, being able to take the risks to understand why a pilot worked or didn't work.
Local or national, which do you think holds the keys to unlocking better public services?
Conceptually, clearly, the closer the client is to the policymaker or the provider, which is the local situation, you're going to be better off. That's what theory tells us. That's what should happen. But unless you have a structure of federalism where the center and the state or the center and the local are connected, are aligned, are able to not compete for influence but complement each other, it's very difficult to have across the board justification for local. There are situations in which local government, decentralization will work well. But in that same country with the same decentralization law, you might have other local areas where things won't work. So the kind of sweeping generalization, the decentralization or local, is where the answers lie. I suspect doesn't work. And we need to be much more nuanced about thinking where things work and why. A good example of this is service delivery in health, where you can have local health clinics. But unless there is a very strong accountability at the local level with the local elected officials who are responsible for who mans the rural health clinic or the local health clinic, who supplies the pharmaceuticals to that, unless there's that accountability and it's clearly established and they have the ability to make the provider function well, to ensure that the medicines are going to be there at the local health clinic, unless you have that accountability, the local doesn't mean anything. So it's really how you structure this relationship and how you create the accountability at the local level that I think makes the dramatic difference. Of course, it's much harder to establish that accountability when somebody's sitting 500 miles away or 5,000 miles away. So again, conceptually, it's a lot easier to do. But as we again heard today, very often the complications of politics at the national level end up just replicating themselves at the local level. And in some sense, then you have dysfunctionality that just mirrors what the dysfunctionality is in the capital.
If you had to sum up what it will take to deliver services that work for the poor in 60 seconds, how would you do it?
Talk very fast, I guess. But no, seriously, I think piloting and experimentation and trying out different architectures for service delivery is something that we haven't done enough of. I think the WDR put a big emphasis on learning, on measurement. I think that still holds true. That message needs to be reinforced again and again.